Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, December 13th, 2016. Riek Machar's wife, Angelina Teng, says the politics of isolation is responsible for the demise of the 2015 peace deal.
There is a need for a political process in order to bring back the agreement. And this political process, of course, there is need to create that environment so that this agreement also itself is reviewed.
And South Sudanese artists use music to try to unite their people. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Angelina Teng, member of the political bureau of the SPLMA in opposition, is in Washington this week to meet with members of the diaspora as well as think tanks in the area. In her first interview since escaping the violence that erupted in Juba in July, Teng tells me that she is urging policymakers in Washington to prevent a genocide from taking place in South Sudan.
I'm here as a member of the SPLM-IO. I'm also here as a South Sudanese citizen who's very, very concerned as well with the recent attitude that you see out of the region and the fact that we get the feeling that, you know, the peace in South Sudan is being abandoned.
Various observers have declared a de facto collapse of the August peace deal. What do you make of that?
The agreement, as we know, it has collapsed because the agreement, it was an agreement, there were two warring parties plus other stakeholders. But the major parties are the two warring parties. And now you have one warring party remaining in Juba and continue to call itself the Transitional Government of National Unity. We as members of IO and as IO, we've been saying that there is still a chance for this agreement to be resuscitated, but there is a need for a political process in order to bring back the agreement. And this political process, of course, there is need to create that environment so that this agreement also itself is reviewed.
Taban Dengai has taken up post as the first vice president. Was his appointment consistent with the 2015 peace deal?
Definitely not, because Taban Deng actually ceased to be a member of IO even before the situation in Juba, because Taban Deng felt disappointed. He didn't like the idea that he was appointed Minister of Mining instead of Minister of Petroleum. And since that day, he never attended not single meeting of SPLM-IO, when the leadership meetings and what have you. He resigned from representing the SPLM-IO in the JMAC. The day when violence broke out in Juba, he went on to the media, and he spoke appealing. When he was asked, he said he was speaking as a leader of a leader in South Sudan in his own right. He was not speaking on behalf of the SPLM-IO. So Taban has ceased to be a member. So therefore, he does not represent IO in Juba. He has already joined the SPLM in government. So he can be in the post, but not as member of IO. He's first vice president of a junta government, not the transitional government of national unity, because in our view, since the agreement has collapsed, therefore there cannot be also a government called transitional government of national unity.
But some people might disagree, and they might say that Taban Dengai has indeed taken up the first vice president's role and is the leader of the SPLM-IO.
The SPLM-IO is an organization that has its constitution, has its basic document, has its procedures and rules and how leaders are actually selected or elected into positions. So we as members of IO do not sit down to actually have them do the necessary due process to appoint Taban or to have a new leader. So therefore, it's just a claim, baseless claim. There has not been a due process as per our constitution, as per our basic document.
And what is Dr. Machar's role in the future of South Sudan?
This is not a question that actually it's is political future. You're talking about the future of the SPLM-IO, because it's the SPLM-IO to decide the political future and the role of Dr. Riek. On the other hand, is also anybody who's interested in peace in South Sudan should really stop this politics of isolation, because IO is a reality. IO is on the ground. Taban has been now first vice president for, let's say, since July. The war has not stopped. In fact, the war has escalated, even worse so in the Equatorial region.
So what is the solution?
So in our view, we feel that a political process, a genuine political process that brings people onto the table to begin to discuss, starting with the review of the agreement and what went wrong, to begin to again start working on the ceasefire arrangement and the transitional security arrangement. This in our view, is the only way.
That's Angelina Teng, wife of former First Vice President Riek Machar and member of the SPLM-IO Political Bureau, speaking to me yesterday in Washington. As the South Sudan conflict enters its fourth year, a renowned local musician is using his songs to promote peace across the country. Singer-songwriter Isaac Lamori, also known by his stage name as McLumix, launched a 23-song album over the weekend, which advocates for peace across South Sudan. Dozens of local artists and hundreds of fans gathered at the Nyakrun Cultural Center in Juba to attend the album launch. Tito Justin was there and has this report for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of audience members chant, "Peace, peace, we are for peace, and one people, one nation," when MC Lomex takes to the stage. His songs include Salam Jakalas, meaning peace has come, and Wasa Sikale Salam, which means leave way for peace. MC Lomex says his new strategy uses music to unite the South Sudanese people.
Yeah, in this critical moment, I just want to pass a message of, like, it's a message within one of my songs. There's no need for us to go for war. Our leaders have fought enough, and they brought peace, and everything is enough, and that's it. And so at the end of the day, it's like, it's all about us accepting and believing that peace is what we need.
MC Lomex says he believes it is important to restore peace, reconcile South Sudanese communities torn apart by conflict, and to rebuild the country.
We are made out of 64 tribes, but we are one people. So different cultures, but one people. So I'm calling upon all our South Sudanese people to make sure that, let's continue to be one and let this album work. You take the album, you buy the album, but you listen to the songs and listen to the message, and then the messages should really act in your life and change. And if your life is changed, your family is changed, and the nation as a whole is changed.
James Avelino aka Rasta Jim International number one on stage also performed at the album launch over the weekend.
I need the South Sudanese all, let we unite, you know, let we have a good heart to live together. As MC Lomex tried to bring us or try to send these messages, like Naswahe to one people, you know that we are one people. Forget about talking about my tribes and your tribes and my family and your family, and see yourself as like you are different.
Viola Destiny Amani was among the hundreds of MC Lomex fans attending the event. Amani thinks other artists should emulate MC Lomex's work and promote peace in order to unite South Sudan.
What MC Lomex has done is a really, really very big thing. Instead of only doing this once in a while, I would advise the other artists to also combine together, and then we come. We are one people.
Amani says if people continue coming together like they did for this concert, and it happens over and over, Amani believes there will no longer be fighting in South Sudan.
There's no need to go for war.
For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Our thanks to Tito for that report. South Sudanese artists use music as a bridge for peace and unity. Dimo Silva Arello has more for VOA.
Jacqueline Ehure, also known as Jimmy, sings in her Oluo language during a concert featuring local musicians at the Father Saturnino Ehure Mausoleum in Turit over the weekend. Jimmy says she tries to discourage all acts of violence, but especially sexual violence against women, in her songs.
The title is Oluo, and it talks about these men who are grabbing people's things on the way, these people who like inter-clan, inter-conflict, tribal war. That song talks about that, and that people should end the war between inter-tribe, inter-clan, inter-community conflict. So those are the... Then I have another one, which is My Country. My Country, that one talks about the entire country, about how the country is really suffering, how the civilians in the country are suffering, how the soldiers of our country are suffering because of the conflict we are having. So I really took my time to sing about that, because I really feel bad seeing my fellow age mate dying in the front line or being killed for just innocently like that.
And Jamie says singing in her local language makes it possible for area residents to pay attention to her message and understand it. She points out the concert included drama performances, poem readings, and artistic drawings, all of which were aimed at promoting peace.
Sure, for this concert, I'm really very grateful. The concert is not only about singers, it's also about the dramatists who are acting dramas for peace, who are presenting poems for peace, who are drawing pictures for peace, who are dancing for peace.
Tommy Flame, another local musician who performed during the concert, stressed the need for South Sudanese to unite.
I have a song that is called Atoba. Orugo amanyariyo no yude, betoba, atoba inyi amanya, obusana amanya, ababo, ababo. So in this music, I'm trying to send message to people. People should live together. People should be united. I don't like and guad barabarao, karenas mageni barabarao. This is what I want to send to people, more especially to Oluo people, because I cannot watch the plate from outside when inside is that.
Emmanuel Oyani, another singer who performed at the concert and whose stage name is MC Green, says promoting peace through song makes a difference in his community.
And I want my nation or my state, Imotongi state, to be in peace, while this what make me to become an artist. So I don't have energy to give authority to the people that you should stop this, but I will use mine, just a microphone. I will sing the song so the people in the village or people in far areas, they can hear in FM, on radio station, sometimes in computer station, they will hear it.
Ohucholi Patrick heads the Imotongi State Artists Union. He encourages local artists not to give up preaching the message of peace and hope, even though it may take a long time in order for people's attitude to change.
My advice to all the artists is to love the kind of music they are coming up with. A music that can really educate the people. A music that can touch the hearts of people. A music that people can see and say, this is really a music which can heal people. So I'm appealing to all the artists, not only in Imotongi State, but South Sudan and Africa at large, that we need to compose our music, we need to come up with good music that makes our people, you know, feel, you know, they are really at in a complete peace.
Jospin Akulang, the Imotongi State Information and Culture Minister, is optimistic that the wider conflict in South Sudan and other intercommunal tensions can be resolved amicably, and she believes music and the arts play a critical role in achieving that goal.
The reason why we're in this situation is because most of us, unfortunately, in this country, decided to choose a violent... All the problems we have can be solved through a non-violent means.
For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. South Sudanese refugees learn working skills at a Ugandan settlement. You'll hear more on that when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are you more of a leader or a follower?
I would say I'm more of a leader, because in most places I find myself as a team leader. I inspire people through what I do.
I'm more of a follower, but sometimes I act as a leader.
In this question, I am a follower because I don't like to be like a leader in a specific group. I just want to be to bring my level down, to be with everyone.
I'm both. I'm a leader, but in order to be a good leader, you have to follow first. Because we don't all start out as leaders. So I start out following a leader. And I have to respect that leader. Because one day when I become a leader, then you also have to make people follow you. So you have to respect other people's leadership.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today, we are talking about malaria. In its latest annual report, the World Health Organization says strong progress has been made in the fight against malaria, particularly in offering effective control programs to children and pregnant women in Africa. The organization, however, warns funding has plateaued, putting targets for tackling the disease at risk. Henry Ridgewell reports.
In its latest annual report, the World Health Organization says strong progress has been made in the fight against malaria, particularly in offering effective control programs to children and pregnant women in Africa. The organization, however, warns funding has plateaued, putting targets for tackling the disease at risk. Henry Ridgewell reports. The World Health Organization's 2016 report highlights significant achievements in the global fight against malaria. Mortality rates, the annual number of deaths from malaria, have been halved in the past 16 years to just over 400,000. Programs to distribute insecticide-treated mosquito nets are the cornerstone of malaria prevention efforts in Africa, says Dr. Joe Lines of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
The progress is that now 53%, just over half that target population, and it's a very large target population in some very difficult to reach places, 53% of those people report now sleeping under an insecticide treated net. That's fantastic.
As more insecticide is used to prevent malaria, however, the mosquitoes, the vectors that transmit the disease, are becoming resistant.
Insecticide resistance is spreading very rapidly. Now that we're achieving those high levels of coverage, it's spreading more rapidly than ever and becoming really strong in some places. So there are places in Africa now that report their mosquitoes can stand 1,000 times the dose of the original population.
Diagnostic testing for malaria has also increased sharply in the last 5 years, allowing for the rapid prescription of life-saving treatment, particularly for children. Again, Dr. Lines.
What's clear now is that we need to do much more differentiated set of interventions. We need to tailor what we're doing to each place.
By far, the highest share of the global malaria burden is borne by sub-Saharan Africa, where 92% of malaria deaths occurred in 2015. Dr. Pedro Alonso Fernandez, the director of WHO's Global Malaria Programme, says progress is being hampered by a lack of funds.
The last 5 years, we have seen no increase on the level of funding, be this from international donors or domestic funding from the affected countries themselves. We are not on track to achieve our goals unless we increase the amount of resources made available to the fight against malaria.
The WHO says more needs to be done to prevent and treat malaria infection in children. Children under the age of 5 account for an estimated 70% of all malaria deaths. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
A group of South Sudanese refugees in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, say they feel empowered after completing various training programs that will equip them with the skills to become self-reliant. The group of about 100 refugees, mostly from East African countries, including South Sudan, graduated last week from an American-funded NGO. Simon Peter Apiku has more for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
The students graduated from sewing, catering, computer studies, and other courses that can set them on a path for employment. The courses lasted anywhere from 2 months to 2 years. South Sudanese refugee Noria Gatluak, who previously studied in Arabic and graduated last week from the school's English language program, says she sees immediate results in learning English.
Now I can speak to other people. They understand. I understand them when they talk to me.
Gatluak says she hopes to use her new language skills to enroll in a course on computer studies next year.
Now these days, everything it is English, and for us in this generation, everything is computer, and computer only English. If you don't know English, you may not use the computer.
South Sudanese refugee Nyanchol Manyel Deng graduated from the cooking class. Deng decided to learn cooking after she dropped out of school because there was nobody to sponsor her education. Deng says she plans to start up a business and use part of the income to resume formal education.
If I have tried to make a business, and for me to selling the cakes, to selling many things, pizza, maybe I will get the money, and for me, I can continue.
Dan says her dream is to return home one day and share her newly acquired cooking skills with her fellow South Sudanese women.
I want to learn more than what I know, to cook. And when I reach to my country, I go back. I want to teach others, to give them certificate like what I get.
Workwon, who took a course in business entrepreneurship, says he learned many things about business. He says he plans to start up his own small business.
I have an idea, and I have my business plan in my mind. So whenever I get the capital, I will start my business.
Many refugees were unable to complete the course and graduate on time due to various challenges they faced, including lack of transportation money to get to school or money for food. War admits he often did not have money for basic needs, but says he refused to let his circumstances get in the way of achieving his dreams.
If I don't have, I will come like this on foot. I will come. I can't miss the classes because I don't have. I will go. I will come early. I will reach on time. Yeah, that's what I did. That's why after now I finished.
Only 4 out of approximately 20 students completed the sewing class this year. Each student received a certificate and a new sewing machine. The Refuge and Hope International School, which is funded by American church organizations, was established in 2010 to help urban refugees rebuild their lives, achieve self-sufficiency, and become leaders in their communities by offering opportunities in education and other career-based training. The church-based NGO also offers emotional and spiritual programs. Roughly 600 students are enrolled at the Refuge and Hope School in Uganda, and most of them are refugees from South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Apiku in Kampala, Uganda.
Stereotypes are one of the drivers of conflict in South Sudan. But what is the role of labels in hate speech? John Tanza, host of South Sudan in Focus, continues the discussion on hate speech this week with South Sudanese in the diaspora.
This is Irene. It's only if your reasoning is limited. But, of course, I know that the tribes always manipulate individual thinking by putting this in their minds that tribe is Juron or that tribe is Nyam Nyam. You cannot mingle with that tribe because they are Nyam Nyam. But you have to think for yourself as an individual. You have to go out there and take a risk and find out if they're really, really Nyam Nyam, they're going to eat you up. Or if they're Juron, whatever it is.
When somebody is Nyam Nyam, does it mean that that person eats people?
I think that's what it is. Okay. Nyam Nyam is like you eat people. They eat people.
I don't know. Dude, can you help us? Dude, can you help us here? What do people tell you Nyam Nyam means?
I don't know what it means, but I would assume, that's what I would have assumed too.
Yes. I mean, why would you say that that person is a nyam nyam? Where did you get that information from? Did they eat any of your relative or, you know, any of your friends? That's just being ignorant too, lacking the knowledge, because you did not give yourself an opportunity to go and discover what that tribe is all about. Yes.
Wekason, you are dying to laugh. You're free to laugh.
Yes, some of this nyam nyam made me laugh. There are things, words out there, like, for example, in my area, they call us Dor by the Dinka. And we kind of raise up above all these stereotypes. I think when it comes to the youth, our generation, these things are fading up slowly. Probably it was more before, because in those ages, people are more into one place, are stick really strongly to their belief. But now that the youth became more open to the different tribes, then this is bringing more understanding, more tolerance and awareness. So it is fading out. It's odd that some of us are still using those terms like the so-called nyam-nyam. But it's something to laugh about.
But you don't know the meaning. Why should you use it when you don't know what it actually means? When I asked the question, what does nyam-nyam mean? None of us were able to explain what it means. We just assume that it means you eat people, but I don't think that's...
Yeah, that needs a good research. I don't think we will have a documentation with the word nyam nyam in it. But yeah. It would be interesting to find somewhere written nyam nyam about South Sudan. So if we have to go, maybe we'll need to go to an elder person and ask how this came about, and then everyone will have their own allegation. I personally think it's... Some of them are, if I have to use that, it's a little bit baseless.
Dennis, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with this situation where people will put labels on others just because they don't belong to their communities? Could you tell us a little bit about your experience?
You know, it's very funny. The Balanda, how they think about other people from other tribes. In Balanda, we are considering the only human being.
So you think the other people are not people?
The other people are not. They are actually not human.
Oh my goodness!
That's the literal translation. Like we say, I belong to Balanda Viri. So we are the Viri. Yeah, the rest of the people who are not Viri, they are not human. Like if you marry a woman which is not from other from Viri, we say. Nanze means you are marrying to somebody who is not a human.
We heard from Irene, an accountant in Minnesota, Dr. Juku Wakison, who is a medical doctor and heads the Western Badal Ghazal community in England, Dawdut Jog, founder of the Dut Jog Youth Foundation, and Dennis Lisa, an accountant in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The four professional South Sudanese shared their views about how labels can fuel hate speech. Tomorrow, we discuss the role of traditional dogmas in hate speech.
The Gentleman. Adama.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song Traffic Jam by Adama.
Easy, easy, easy. Yeah, yeah.
We've been listening to Adama perform the song Traffic Jam. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for being here. We invite you to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
As you didn't listen to me for your radio inside, I want to make you move to the beat maker. Bye, story, right?
This Saturday, I sang it up for you.